loving one another is not a discipline reserved for an advanced Christian. It's not an option. Love is the heartbeat of our faith. And if we detect no pulse, there is no faith.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, happy Friday, and thank you for tuning in. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study from Hebrews with the conclusion to the message, How Important is Chapter 13? Now, Pastor.
I will declare your name to my brethren. In other words, Father, I'm going to declare your name to all of my brothers, all of my sisters. And he says, I'm going to do it in the midst of the assembly, and I'm going to sing praise to you. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Oh, and I said, dear God. And again, he says, oh, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says this, here I am. He's speaking to God, the Father. Jesus said, here I am, and the children whom you have given me. We're going to experience that moment. We're going to be in that assembly of praise. Do you understand that? All of us, that if we're truly born again, Jesus never called anyone a brother or a sister until after his resurrection, after he paid for our sins. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, we're his children. Here I am, and the children whom God has given me. Listen to me. You are a gift from God the Father to Jesus his Son. Do you know that? Jesus said, and all that you have given me, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, and all that the Father has given me, I will not lose one of them. He will never lose you. Do you understand? And I'm saying, dear Lord, this is just too good to me. So there, here we are. He says, I'm not ashamed to call you brothers. I'm not ashamed to call you sisters. You're going to be in the assembly with me. We're going to have a worship session. And here's why. Because we are his church. We are his brethren. We are his children. And we are commanded. Let brotherly love continue. Never let it fade. Never let it fail. Keep on loving one another. Do you know that the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, I think it is 14, 15, it says that the law is fulfilled in one word, love. Totally fulfilled, love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But beware unless you turn against one another and devour one another. We don't want that, do we? You know, we have to love. Listen to what David Jeremiah said about love. He says, loving one another is not a discipline reserved for an advanced Christian or a gift belonging to naturally tolerant people. It's not an option. Love is the heartbeat of our faith. And if we detect no pulse, there is no faith. Galatians 5:6, faith worketh by love. Do you understand how powerful love is? Let us love one another. Now, how important is this chapter? Look at verse 2. You didn't think I was ever going to get there, did you? It says, do not forget, don't neglect the what? To entertain strangers. All right, that word entertain strangers there literally means don't forget to show hospitality, or literally in the Greek it would be lovers of strangers, okay? So don't forget to entertain strangers or love strangers, for by doing so, some, and we can go back and look at Abraham and Lot and all the rest, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Man, so we're to love one another. We're to love strangers by showing hospitality. You know, Spurgeon put it this way. He says, some people will never entertain angels unaware, for they never entertain anybody. That's a good word. It doesn't mean to entertain, okay, I'm taking you to lunch. That's not what it means. It means strangers, loving strangers. I told the early service, I said, you know, I said, I'm a fanatic about all my life about keeping my cars clean. I hand wash a car. I don't like anyone to wash them but me. You know, they don't do it like I do it. You know what I mean? Okay, that's not in my notes, but I'm sharing. Well, my car was filthy. So I went to this car wash. And they hand washed, and so I paid them. It was a cash only deal. And so they were working so hard, and it was one of those terribly hot days there was a young 19-year-old girl. I have never seen a woman work so hard, and I felt horrible. So she pulls a car out, and so forth, and I give her the money because it was cash only, couldn't put it on your credit card. And she just looked at me, and I noticed that her face just fell when I gave her the cash. And so I started driving away, and my heart, it was like, you didn't tip her. You can tip her. Go tip her. I said, uh-uh. I said, it was cash. It was cash. All the way home, I'm fighting the Holy Spirit. I get home, and I tell my wife, and she says, you need to turn around. You can get back in your car right now and go tip that woman. She said, here, this is $50, and I had 10, that's $60. I said, what? What? So I drive all the way back. All right, Lord, I'm going to tip, I'm talking about showing hospitality to strangers, those that you don't know. So she's already there washing another car. I walk up behind her. I said, ma'am. She didn't hear. I said, hola. You don't speak. I spoke the whole conversation in Spanish, but I don't want to get into that. And she turned, such a sweet lady. I said, what is your name? She said, my name is Ashley. And I said, I've never seen anybody work on a car like that. I said, thank you so much. And I said, I felt so good. I didn't give it. And I gave her that $60, and she immediately started weeping. She said, you don't know the day that I have had and what has happened. And when I gave it to her, I said, this is from the Lord. It ain't from me. This is from the Lord, and he loves you. Do you understand? He loves you. And she broke down weeping, and there was a little room, and she ran into the room and closed the door where I wouldn't see her, and I drove off. You see, that's sometimes we show hospitality to strangers that way. And we show the love of Christ. Jesus loved everyone. And we're to do those things. Job put it this way in Job 31:32. He says, but no stranger had to lodge in the street. In other words, he said, no stranger had to sleep in the street. He said, for I've opened my doors to the travelers. During the millennial reign of Christ, at the sheep and goat judgment in the kingdom age, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, I think it is, and following, you know what? They're going to be judged, the nations, by their works, but really by their hospitality. Remember what Jesus said? He said, he separated the sheep and the goat, one on the right, one on the left, and he said, oh, come enter the joy of the Lord. Come enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. And he said, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was in prison, and you came. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And they would go, oh, Lord, when did we ever do that for you? He says, when you did it to the least of these, my brother, you did it unto me. That's going to be a judgment. You see how important loving strangers is? And not only that, look at this one. Remember the prisoners. Now, this is from chapter 10, verse 34. Remember those that were suffering, those who were in prison, those who all of their goods had been taken away. They were in prison for Jesus' sake. It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated or abused. Why? Well, since you yourselves are in the body also. That means the physical body. He didn't mention the body of Christ there. What's he saying? He's saying you could be in there. You could be suffering just like they're suffering. No Christian is immune from that. But the word remember is a love word. Remember them. It means love does something about it. If you're in prison for Christ's sake, and there you are, your families, you don't have anyone. If you back then, they had nothing. No, they didn't have a pillow to sleep on. They didn't have food. Do you follow me? Oh, that's what this is all about. I read a book by Adolf von Hanneck, The Expansion of Christianity. He talks about this. Let me read it to you. Some early Christians, talking about those that are in prison, Christians that are in prison, okay? He said, some early Christians sold themselves into slavery to get money to free a fellow believer from prison. Hello? Would we do that? We won't even go visit people in jail. Yeah, come on. Set Free Ministry will, though. Amen. Patrick will. Amen. Amen. No, listen to me. And he says, I'm going to put myself in slavery because I love him so much. And I'll sell myself to get my brother or my sister free. Can you believe that? He says, they were even prepared to bribe their way into prison. Hello. The Christians became so notorious for their help of those in prison that at the beginning of the 4th century, Emperor Licinius passed legislation that no one was to show kindness to sufferers in prison by supplying them with food or to show mercy to those who were starving in prison. And he added on that legislation that he passed. And if you do so, I'm going to put you in prison and you're going to suffer just like they're suffering. Man, loving those who for Christ's sake are put away in jail, prison, whatnot. And then he moves to the family. You have to have a strong family, loved one, when we're going through times like that. And that's what he was saying to them in the first century. Look at it. Marriage is honorable among how many people? All. And the bed undefiled. In other words, don't sin. Keep it pure. Fornicators, adulterers, God's going to judge. Now, look at the word marriage, and then it says is. If you look at your Bible, I don't know if it's on apps or not, but it might be in your Bible. Is in italics, okay? That means that the translators added it, all right? It's not in our Greek text. So it should really read like this. Marriage should be honored by all. And when I say by all, that means all people. Marriage, the word honored, means to treat as precious or highly prized by every person, Jew, Gentile, no matter who you are. Now, it needs to be treated as precious. See, a house divided cannot what? Cannot stand. So what is he saying here? Okay, you are running the race. All hell is about to break loose in Jerusalem because the Romans are here now. They've taken over everything. And he says, you have to protect your marriage. You have to look at it as highly prized. And he says this. He says, the only way you can protect it is by being obedient to God. Now, let me explain what I mean. In other words, Jesus has to be the Lord of our marriage today and then. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So if Jesus is the Lord of our marriage, we're going to have a strong family. So you could start out with Ephesians 5:21, where it says this. It says, submitting yourselves, husband and wife, submitting yourselves unto the Lord, meaning it's not the husband's will, it's not the wife's will, it's God's will be done. Amen? And then if the husband, if he does his part, which is Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And if the wife does her part, Ephesians 5:33, wives, see that you love your husbands and that you respect them. If they both do that in times, because we need to stay strong. If they don't do that, they're going to be in for a lot of trouble. You know why? Because if you're not obedient to those scriptures in your marriage, then you've done an Ephesians 4:27. An emotional breach has now taken place. Ephesians 4:27 is make no opportunity. Don't open any door for the wicked one. Amen? Now, let's go to the next one. It says, let your conduct, your lifestyle, your manner of life. This is vital, what I'm about to share. Let your conduct be without what? Covetousness. In other words, keep your life lies free from the love of money. Colossians 3:5 says that covetousness is idolatry, okay? So let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. So we're to love one another. We're to love strangers. We're to love those that are in prison and those that are being mistreated. We're to love our wives, our spouses, and so forth, but we are not ever to love money. Amen? Very, very important. So the Jewish believers, now let's go back historically, they had been excommunicated. Their families had nothing to do with them. Their goods, everything they had already been plundered. Hebrews chapter 10, again, verse 34 and following. It's already gone. So they had nothing. And so what is he saying here? Be content with just what you have. I don't have anything. Be content. That is a very, very powerful word, loved one. Listen, contentment never, ever comes from the possession of external things. Nothing wrong with external things. Nothing wrong with having money, any of those. But that is not going to give you what you need. Listen, Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves silver, meaning money, he who loves silver will never be satisfied with silver because it cannot satisfy you. And the majority of the world, and even the church, our happiness, it seems, is dependent upon our circumstances. In other words, our contentment, I mean. Well, look, I've got a great job, this, da-da-da. Well, that's wonderful to have all those things. But, loved one, listen to me. Jesus said this, take heed, beware of covetousness. Beware. He said there was a warning there. And then he says something. For one's life, meaning one's true life, does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So in other words, a person's true life, And true contentment is never found in many possessions or in few possessions, because they cannot be found there. True life can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, the rich young ruler, when Jesus, remember he came to, in Mark chapter 10, verse 20, 21, right in that area, the rich young ruler came to the Lord and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments." And she said, "Oh, Lord, I've kept them all. I've kept all of them from, do not commit adultery, all from my youth up." Y'all remember the story, right? And so Jesus looked at him and, you know, "Yeah, really, okay, you've kept them all." And then it says he loved him. And then it says, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Thou lackest," or "you lack one thing. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor." In other words, give away your possessions before they possess you. "And you will have treasure in heaven. Hey, come and take up the cross. Follow me." And when he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, and here's the reason, for he had great possessions. Money stopped him from following the King of Kings. Has something stopped you? You need to ask yourself. Listen to me now. As we start moving in on the end of this, this is so vital. This part right here, it's breathtaking to me. Oh, how important is this chapter? This is vital for what they were facing and what one day we may face. How much does God love us? I want you to look at verse 5. He says, "Listen, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." Well, we have Jesus, amen? That's enough for me. We have his truth. And we have God's promises, and what I'm about to read to you should remove every form of worry, concern, and fear in your life and my life as well. He says, "For he himself has said," meaning God is speaking now. Our God who's a consuming fire is speaking. Our God who cannot lie is speaking. He says, "For he himself has said, I will" what? Say it one more time. "Never. I will never leave you." That word "leave" means I will never desert you. It means I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. Do you know in the Greek, that is the strongest expression of assurance possible. He says, "I'll never do that." Never. Do you know that "never" is a huge, that's a big word. Never. I mean, never. That's a big word. Let me give you the definition of "never." It says an adverb indicating that something will not happen at any time. Never. It'll never happen to you when you're young. It'll never happen to you when you're old. It'll never happen to you when you're sick. It'll never happen to you when you're frail. It'll never happen to you when you're depressed. It'll never happen to you when you're so down you don't know what to do. It'll never happen to you, never, when you fail in this life, when you fall apart, whatever you're facing. It says never, not one second. No, never, no, never, no, never. And then verse 6, look at this, incredible. "So we," the author includes himself, "so we may" what?
Boldly.
Boldly. Oh, with tremendous faith and confidence that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." And if he's your helper, look what he says. "I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Listen to me now. The Jewish believers and all the believers in Jerusalem, they were facing the most horrific times known in their entire history, loved one, under this Roman rule. And here's the thing that we need to say. If we're going to prepare our hearts, then we need to be honest with ourselves. Is verse 6, is it your confession? Do you really boldly say that? Do you really with all of your heart say, "That's right, when my world falls apart, if my world ever falls apart like their world fell apart, you know what? I'm not going to fear. When I see everything I know, every familiar thing vanish out of my sight, when I see a million people like they did perished, just crucified them, killed children, starved them to death in AD 70. Loved one, listen to me. He says to them and he's preparing them. That's why this chapter is so important, never to be neglected. He's preparing them for what they are about to face. He says, "You boldly say, oh, I'm not going to be afraid." He says, "What can man do to me?" Or let's put it this way, "What can Rome, what can they do to me? I see the soldiers, I see them, but what can they do to me in contrast with what my God can do for me?" Amen? Oh, listen, Romans 8:31, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Oh, King David said in Psalm 27:1, he said, "Oh, the Lord, he's my light. Oh, the Lord, He's my Savior, my salvation, meaning my rescuer. Oh, the Lord. Oh, no, He's more than all those things. He is my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, listen very carefully. The scripture that I just read means more to me than you can imagine. I get emotional just reading it because of what it's done for me in all of these years. And I've told you repeatedly how I've made Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 mine. It's one of the greatest passages to me in the entire Bible. And I cling to it in my heart. And I pray, listen, if we ever go through bad times, this is what we need right here. And you need to, every believer, by His grace and by His strength and His love for you, you need to make these scriptures that I'm going to read to you again, you need to make them your own. Because these passages throughout my life, but also mainly in my ministry, in my pastorate, they have given me the assurance, they have given me peace, they have given me resolve that I'm going to make it. That when I fail, when I don't think I can go on, I read this. I've told you how I go to my office and I'll sit in this particular chair and I put my hand on my library shelf and I pull out my Amplified Bible and I turn it and I read it to me, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Version, which I have done many times over the years at this church. Let me read it to you now. This is why this chapter is so important. Hebrews 13:5 from the Amplified. Let your character be free from the love of money, and here it comes. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. Now go back to the first century and look. They had nothing. He says, you be satisfied. See, don't fall apart now. You can't in the midst of the destruction that's there. He says, listen, be satisfied with your present condition. Are you satisfied with your present condition and your circumstances? And let me tell you why you can be. Now look at it. He says, for He, I'm reading from the Amplified, for He, meaning God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. I will not give you up. I will not leave you without support. Do you understand what He just said? Christian, He's looking at you right now, and you need to get this into your heart. He says, I will never leave you without support. Never. And I have clung to that in my heart. I will never leave you without support. Now listen, now it's emphatic in the Greek. It's amplified. And three times, listen to what God Himself said. I will not in any way fail you. I will not give you up. I'll not leave you without support. I will not. Three times. I will not in any degree leave you helpless. I will or forsake you or let you down or relax my hold upon you. What kind of word is that? And He says, assuredly not. So take comfort. Oh, be encouraged. Confidently, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? Can you imagine when they read that and they looked at their circumstances? And one day we may read it again and look at our circumstances, but it does no good to read it. These incredible promises from the God who loves you, from the God who cannot lie, they have to be believed. You have to believe that with all of your heart. They're no value to the Christian unless you believe them. It says in Psalm 27:13, I would have lost heart, King David said. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And if we don't believe the promises of God, if we don't believe what we just heard and what I just read, loved one, listen to me, this church and every church, if they don't believe this, they will lose heart. There's only one way for us to live. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. And then it says, but if you draw back, God says, I have no delight if you pull back from believing me. And then the writer goes on to say, but we're not those who draw back to destruction, but we are the ones that go on to the believing of the soul. And we do that, loved one, by faith. There's no other way. God says this, and remember what He says? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Well, there's one more message from Pastor's Hebrews series, and we encourage you to tune in on Monday to hear this final message. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today. Have a safe and restful weekend, and we'll look for you again on Monday. God bless, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.